It's very un-Episcopalian to worship on a Saturday night, but it was very Christian to worship on that Saturday night because it was Holy Saturday. And we gathered for the service called the Great Vigil of Easter. The first thing that happened in that service was at the back of the church in the semi-darkness, we lit the Paschal candle. Three times as it came down the aisle, we proclaimed the light of Christ, thanks be to God. The Paschal candle signified to us that Christ is risen and that Christ is the light of the world. At every service since Holy Saturday, that Paschal candle has been lit because it signifies to us what Scripture tells us. That for 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus appeared to his disciples in bodily form. He visited with them. He taught them and he told them things. But this past Thursday, 40 days after Easter, was Ascension Day. And Jesus ascended into heaven. This past Thursday, we celebrated a beautiful service in the chapel with music by William Byrd. And after the reading of the Gospel, we extinguished the Paschal candle. It was very simple, yet very dramatic, because it signified to us that Christ no longer was appearing to his disciples in a bodily form, but had ascended to his Father in heaven. Because by looking at the story, God didn't want his Son to kind of just stay around and appear once in a while to his disciples. The work of God was now going to be left to the Holy Spirit. And next Sunday, 10 days after Ascension Day, we'll celebrate Pentecost and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this past Thursday, Ascension Day, was really important. It's very important. When Jesus does not appear in bodily form anymore, but goes back to heaven to be with God. There's a wonderful legend about what happened when Jesus gets back to heaven. When he got there, Jesus still showed the very deep marks on his back where he was flogged. He also still showed the holes in his hands and his feet where he was nailed to the cross. He also had the scar of a deep puncture wound in his side where he was speared. And he also had the marks of the crown of thorns that was thrust onto his head and punctured it. When he got back to heaven and the people saw it, everybody just went to their knees. They were astounded at just how much Jesus had suffered. There's a period of silence. And the angel Gabriel was the first one to speak. And he asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, do all the people on earth know and appreciate how much you suffered and went through to show how much you love them?" And Jesus said, "No." Only a handful of people in Palestine know that. The rest haven't even heard of me. They don't know who I am. They know nothing about me. And Gabriel had a look of shock on his face. So he asked Jesus, "Well, how will the rest of the people on earth ever know about your suffering? Ever know about your love for them?" And Jesus said, "Well, Gabriel, just before I left, I told Peter, James and John and a few of their friends to tell as many people as they can. And for those people to tell as many people as they can. And in that way, eventually, the whole world will know about me. Now, the Archangel Gabriel considered himself much older and much more experienced in human nature than Jesus. Because Gabriel knew just how fickle people can be. Gabriel knew just how forgetful people can be. And Gabriel knew just how prone to doubt people can be. So Gabriel asked Jesus, what happens then if Peter and James and John or their friends grow tired or frustrated? What if they forget about you? What if they have doubts about you? And even if they do what you ask, what happens if the people that they tell experience the same things? Did you not take these things into account? Tell me, Jesus, do you have a backup plan? And Jesus said, Gabriel, you know, I did take all that into account. But I decided against any backup plan. This is the only plan I have. Because you know what, Gabriel? I am counting on Peter and James and John and their friends. And I'm counting on who they tell not to let me down. 21 centuries later, Jesus of Nazareth still has no other plan. Jesus counted on. Jesus trusted Peter, James, John, and their friends. And now Jesus counts on and trusts us. I believe that we sit here today as Christians because somebody at some time told us something about God and Jesus. It was passed on to us. And we are now asked to pass it on. And I also believe that the best way to pass it on is not by threatening or by guilt. Not by hollering biblical passages to support who is right or who is wrong. Not by us assuming to become the shepherd to separate the sheep from the goats. And certainly not by threatening eternal damnation to those who disagree with us. I believe that the way we live out the teachings of Jesus, founded on love, tell people about Jesus. And I believe that the way we begin to preach Jesus is to first of all preach Jesus to ourselves. To ourselves. You know, there's that wonderful Chinese proverb that says, if there is right in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. If there is beauty in the person, there will be a harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. And if there's order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. The only way to begin to preach Jesus is first of all to preach him to ourselves and begin to live what we learn. Because we cannot talk about, we cannot live that which we do not know. Once we begin to live Christ, then that begins to ripple out to other people. The message of Ascension Day and the message of this seventh Sunday after Easter is simply this. Jesus is counting on us. He has no one else. Just us. Amen.